Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. A couple of Fridays ago, we were talking about something that wasn't quite in the same vein as Mormonism, but we were talking about the Holly Festival that takes place every year down in Spanish Fork, Utah. It's a huge, huge event. And this year, Aaron calls me up, Eric, and he says, whatever you're doing, drop it right now. Now I'm working on a presentation I have to get for this conference, and I was not in the mood to be interrupted. But he says, no, you've got to go down here. You've got to come down there with me. So I says, okay. I says, you owe me big time. So we went down to the last Holly Festival, and let me tell you something. It was grieving.
Now, you need to mention that this is Hare Krishna Temple.
It's a Hare Krishna Temple.
And
yes.
Right there in Spanish Fork.
It's the same Hare Krishna Temple that the Mormon Church sent volunteers, primarily youth members, to go and do the landscaping for this pagan temple. The Mormons were involved in promoting this and helping them, I guess, as an act of goodwill. Now, I don't think the Apostle Paul would have done something like that, but still, we went down there. I basically went as Aaron's bodyguard and cameraman. Now, you wonder, why are we filming this? Because we like to watch ourselves on film? No, it's for our own protection. Things can get pretty hairy down there. Now, I've been at homosexual parades. I've been in front of mosques. I've been in front of abortion clinics. These are the kind of events where it can get a little bit wild. So we were down there, and it was exactly like I said. I says, you know, Aaron, they're going to be pelting you with that powder because they throw this colored powder up in the air. There's going to be a lot of people who aren't going to like what you have to say, and they're going to take it out on you. And sure enough, a lot of them did. Now, there were people down there wearing crosses. Now, I know a lot of people wear crosses, and it means absolutely nothing to them. But I have to wonder how many of those that were wearing crosses actually thought that that cross meant something to them. There were also plenty of people wearing Brigham Young University shirts. Lots of Mormons down there. In fact, when one person went up and threw chalk or this powder right in Aaron's face, didn't do it out of act of love like they're supposed to be doing it in front of the temple, was quite angry. I pulled them aside and said, are you Mormon? And of course they were. And I asked them a question. I often ask Mormons this. I say, if that man over there pointing to Aaron was a Mormon missionary, and you went up and did that to a Mormon missionary, would that be persecution?
Wow.
And of course, he saw the connection there. And a lot of Mormons fail to recognize that when we are there preaching what we believe to be true, calling on people who profess to be Christians to apologize to Jesus for being involved in a pagan celebration. It was interesting how people were reacting.
Somebody listening to this, Bill, is going to say, Bill, you're taking this a little bit too far. They're just having fun. It's colors. It's springtime. Why can't we have a chalk fight?
That was a common response. It's just fun. But think about it. An answer like that implies that pagan worship is always drudgery or painful. And we know from history that that's not the case. There were participation in ancient times in many of the pagan sex cults.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sure.
Are you going to say that a person participating in a sex cult in ancient times wouldn't come out and say, whoa, that was fun?
Well, the Temple of Aphrodite they had in Corinth certainly was a place where you celebrated, you had as much sex as you could. That was your way of worshiping the god.
Now, this doesn't involve any type of sexual acts or anything like that, but just because it's fun, does that make it right? I mean, really, if you're a professing Christian, and you know, a lot of Mormons say that they are, what are you doing down there? Why were you there participating in this pagan celebration? What is it really all about? Let me read to you from one of the websites that actually talks about the Holly Festival. This is what it is, and I'm going to apologize up front that I am going to probably butcher a lot of these Indian names.
They're hard.
Because I admit this is not something that I'm awfully familiar with, but it's not difficult to find out information on this. And if you're a professing Christian, you should be using wisdom. And I don't think wisdom is participating in anything like this. This is what it says. It's a Hindu festival. Holi has various legends associated with it. The foremost is the legend of demon king, and here we go, and I apologize, Hiranyakashyap. You imagine trying to spell that in kindergarten.
Talk about butcher.
Yeah, who demanded everybody in his kingdom to worship him, but his pious son, I think it's Prahlad, became a devotee of Lord Vishnu. This king wanted his son to be killed. He asked his sister Holika to enter a blazing fire with Prahlad in her lap, as Holika had a boon which made he immune to fire. I don't think the person writing this, English was his first language, but I'm reading it as it is on the website. Story goes, should be the story goes, story goes that Prahlad was saved by Lord himself for the extreme devotion, and evil-minded Holika was burnt to ashes, for her boon worked only when she entered the fire alone. Since that time, people light a bonfire called Holika on the eve of Holi festival and celebrate the victory of good over evil and also the triumph of devotion to God. Now, let me stop there. Christian, do you really think when it talks about devotion to God, it's talking about devotion to Jesus? I don't think so. And so, but that's what you're participating in if you're going to this celebration. It's all about devotion to their God. Children take special delight in the tradition, and this has another legend attached to it. It says that there was once an ogress, Dundi, I think is how it may be pronounced, who used to trouble children in the kingdom of Prithu or Prithu. She was chased away by children on the day of Holi. Therefore, children are allowed to play pranks at the time of Holika Dahan. Some also celebrate the death of evil-minded Putana. The ogress tried to Lord Krishna as an infant by feeding it poisonous milk while executing the plan of Kansa, Krishna's devil uncle. However, Krishna sucked her blood and brought her end. Some who view the origin of festivals from seasonal cycles believe that Putana represents winter and her death the cessation and end of winter.
That sounds really Christian-like.
I could just see the Apostle Paul getting all excited
about that.
Now, Christian, and there were a lot of you down there. What in the world were you doing?
Well, and you're right on that. What about the Mormons? What
exactly.
are they doing down there?
And there were tons of them proudly wearing their Brigham Young University shirts.
This is completely opposite of the faith they have. Now, the Hare Krishnas do hold to one God, but in the different incarnations that took place, Vishnu with Krishna and everything
else.
Well,
let me read that.
Yeah,
let me read that. This is from the UtahKrishnas.org website. Four main lines have directed India's spiritual culture for hundreds of years, and each of them asserts that Krishna, or his expansion, Vishnu, is God. And then it goes on. I had this little video there in a dialogue. I find it disturbing to read media coverage of Krishna-conscious events that refers to devotees as worshippers of the god Krishna. For the average person in the West, the writer might as well be saying we worship the god Zeus. Why would anyone take seriously a group of people who have arbitrarily chosen to worship one god out of a whole stable of contenders? So that goes along with what you're saying. The Hare Krishnas are monotheistic, which is something that even Mormons aren't. But it goes on to say, but our choice is far from arbitrary. It's founded in the Vedic scriptures, the credibility of saints of respected spiritual lines, and the realized conviction, persuasive writings, and pure character of Krishna's emissary, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So that's where they get it. They have their little prophet, just like the Mormons have their prophet. And whatever the prophet says, that's what it is.
And he's supposed to be promoting Lord Caitanya from the 15th century, who's the last incarnation of Vishnu. But, you know, Bill, the Bible is pretty clear on this, I think. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says, have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them.
Well, what do you do with 1 Corinthians 10:14? Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Aaron was telling them, if you profess to be Christian, flee. Why are you going in here? And a lot of people And here's what was sad. I was standing off to the side filming, and I was, you know, just having a camera there kept a lot of people, I think, honest.
Right.
Because they would see the camera, and they knew I was filming them, and whatever they were going to do to Aaron, they didn't do. And the sheriff was pulling quite a few people after they would really angrily throw this powder in Aaron's face, and Aaron took it very well. There's one sheriff there was pulling him aside, said, "You want me to cite you?" Because they don't realize when you
That's
do
assault.
It like that, that is assault.
Absolutely.
Okay. And so anyway, the point is that here these people were doing this, and Aaron's trying to call on them to think through what they are doing, and not one professing Christian, not one professing Mormon came up to defend Aaron.
Wow.
They didn't say a word. They just kept walking.
I think we need to point out too, Bill, that this festival is a moneymaker because they are selling the bags. In fact, their website says that they are the largest resellers of this color within the United States. There's an admission fee of $3 to get in. They're having one this Saturday over at the other Hare Krishna Temple here in Salt Lake City. And I think what Bill and I are both saying is if you're a Christian, you have no business, A, being there, or B, putting any money into their coffers.
Exactly. And you know what was even more hilarious? Were the obscene atheists that
Why
were in attendance.
Why were atheists there?
I don't know. I you know, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, these are these really smart and educated atheists who think religious people are really stupid and superstitious. And you could hear them, you know, they would say stupid things like they're getting their money marching orders from Christopher Hitchens. Well, Jesus doesn't exist. Oh, come on.
And yet you said many of them were repeating the Maha Mantra as they were walking back.
Some were doing that as they walked by. Some were saying, "Hail Satan." I'm sure some of them were just trying to be smart. But here these atheists are saying there is no God. And I'm thinking, and then what were you doing in there at a religious festival celebrating a pagan deity, Vishnu? What were you doing in there? These are the smart atheists. It was, if it wasn't so tragic, it would have been really hilarious.
Man.
But for a Christian, there's nothing funny about this. There's nothing funny about this. You cannot defend this from the New Testament. And if you're a Christian thinking that it's just fun, you might want to rethink that. You are participating in works of darkness. That was Aaron's message that day. It was a good message, and I hope that some Christians were actually listening to him.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that is eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.